And Todd, appreciate coming on here to chat. I mean, we've seen firms pretty much all week cutting expectations when it comes to U.S. equities. Not a lot of people, maybe necessarily, not everybody, certainly, in that camp. Where do you fall among maybe some of these little jitters we're seeing this week?
I think it's been interesting to watch investors globally really re-rate their prices for risk assets as they digest new information that suggests perhaps a bit of a slowing in the fundamental strength of the economy. That said, we look at the capital markets today, and I see tremendous fundamental improvement. You're looking at, yes, due to base effects, you know, close to 40% earnings growth this year, about 7% earnings growth next year. Put that together with, I think, some very accommodative monetary policy, there still is significant room for risk assets to deliver performance, whether that's U.S. equities, which have led in August and a lot of the year to date, or whether it's small caps or even potentially credit, where you do see preferreds, emerging market debt, and high yield, I think, offering attractive opportunities today.
And on that front, Todd, you've highlighted that you like the mega cap tech names. I would see a bit of an outlier in terms of the guests that we've had recently who've said value over growth is the way to go. What are some particular names that you like, and what's the value that you see?
Well, I think that big cap tech is an investment story that many investors have grown a little bored of and seem eager to move on from towards some of those more cyclical value exposures. And indeed, you saw at the beginning of the year, value rallied hard and you saw a quick acceleration on financials and some of those more cyclically exposed sectors. But within big cap tech, I think investors are quick to lose sight of really what is an incredible secular story. And given the where we think we are in the cycle that is allowing additional room for big cap tech names to continue to run, we think that their competitive advantage, the shift in the economy post-COVID, all those things point to continued strength, and we remain overweight that mega cap U.S. equity group.
And Todd, I mean, the other thing too, it would seem that you're also maybe against the grain here in regards to the way that the market might be getting more comfortable with the idea of the COVID spike we're seeing play out here, not necessarily being terrible. I guess one name to point to today would be Dave & Buster's. We're seeing that stock pop off their latest earnings, and obviously a name that was hit hard in the lockdown, people not necessarily going to Dave & Buster's. But why do you think that is? I've always seen maybe the shift away from focusing on cases to focusing on hospitalizations and deaths. But what do you think has maybe investors looking at the COVID risk not being as large anymore?
It's just hard to find a more efficient pricing mechanism for risk than global equity markets. I've been surprised at the way that investors have navigated these waters, but I've been impressed by the speed with which I think investors are able to process new information about COVID case counts, COVID hospitalizations, COVID fatalities. And while we watched that, of course, with a very close eye and how it's affected everything from leisure to hospitality, what we're seeing is that there's a response mechanism and the global economy continues to find ways to gain efficiency, to find new avenues for growth, even new channels, despite the Delta variant. We think as that variant progresses and perhaps we move into new variants, you'll continue to see the U.S. economy and the global economy find ways to grow despite what COVID has brought to the world today.